Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this special message by Brother John Albaugh titled, Are We Really Listening to the Heartbeat of Jesus? This is part two of two.
Scripturally, the heartbeat of Jesus transforms our soul by God's word. His heart is pumping. It's pumping here. He wants to transform our soul by the word of God. Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you. All right, the real definition for grace, we'll get down here. This covers Romans 6:12 through 18. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. What is grace? Grace is God working his desire in us. Grace is God giving us his desire, giving us his power to do the will of God. That's the real definition of grace. It covers your spirit, it covers your soul, and then it covers the body. It's God doing, he's doing the work. In the flesh nature, we have no desire for God. None whatsoever. I joke with one of the pastors that I know. I told him what I'd like to do is sit back, read my Fantastic Four comic book, you know, and stay away from Christianity. Okay? That's in the flesh nature. When I'm in the spirit, I want to be in the book. I want to be studying. I want to be reading. When I'm in the spirit of God, I have great joy passing out gospel tracts. Passed out one yesterday at a store I had to go to. And you'll crack up. I gave him the George Washington tract. This guy loves George Washington. He said, he's one of my favorite presidents. So on top of that, he says, I've got a friend I've been witnessing to who loves George Washington, but he's not saved. I'm going to give it to him. So already, it's going down to another. So I delight in that. I have a joy that someone else is going to be getting a chance to hear the gospel of Christ. We are transformed by God's word. That's in James 1:17, and that's probably a worthy one to read. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, that's grace, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Here's the word of truth right here. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear the heartbeat of Christ, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. All right? You take the word of God and you read it. You get it into the soul. You take the word of God and you memorize it. You take the word of God and you meditate on it. You make it part of you. And what happens when you get that word into the soul, you start thinking like the word of God. And that's the fun part, is when you start thinking like the word of God. Now, if you don't spend any time in it, you're not going to think like God. You're going to think just like the flesh nature that you're still stuck with. Three levels of grace for the believer. And as we already shared, without salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. All right? So grace comes at salvation. Grace is for the fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called into his fellowship. That's what grace is for. If you're not fellowship with Christ, then you've rejected the grace. And then God's purpose in our life is found in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And in Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It is the grace of God that works within every single one of us when we humble ourselves before Him. The only way to get the grace of God is through being humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And I remember reading in Deuteronomy 8 one time, and I realized from the Word of God that God had concluded the 2 million Jews that was with Moses, He concluded them all proud. All. And there's different types of pride, but they were all proud. And God says, I'm going to give you manna, and when you get manna, you have to bow down to pick it up. Here's the Word of God. Every day we need to bow down and pick up the Word of God and ask Him to talk to us. And He will. The key for this part is we are not under the law, but we're under grace. And one of the things that Jill and I do when we have traveled through all the different states, we've traveled from Columbus clear up to Maine, connecting all the states. We even went 1 year out of our way to go to Rhode Island so we could pass out tracts in Rhode Island. We've connected all the states from Columbus going down to Florida, which includes the seacoast. We came back this year and we finally hit 2 new states, South Carolina and North Carolina. And we've connected all the states from Columbus, Ohio, clear down to California. All right? But what we pray when we go into those states, we say, Lord, the Christians in this state are not under the law. They're under Your grace. We pray for revival for every Christian that's in this state. And we ask the Lord for His help and for His mercy for all those Christians there. We don't know who they are, what they are. We don't know what they're struggling. We pray for their health. We pray for their social problems. We pray for their spiritual problems. We ask the Lord to get the pastors, get in the book, and to feed their church people. But that's what we pray. Okay, the next part is plasma is the living water in believers. The plasma is the moving part. It's like the water running through a water pipe. All right? Number 4. The heartbeat of Christ, the heartbeat of Jesus conforms us to Christ's image for God's glory. What is the heartbeat of Christ for every 8 billion people on this planet? Abide in me. Abide in me. That's the heartbeat. That's the heartbeat. Abide in me, and you'll bear fruit. John 7:38. He that believes, remember the heart beating? Spiritual life starts by believing. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, and that's the old-fashioned word for your heart, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. The blood of Christ is not stagnant. It's still moving. It's spiritual in that aspect. But it works within every single one of us. As the scripture, well, that's the word of God. Scripture. There's no difference between Jesus Christ and the Bible. No difference. As the scripture hath said. That's the heartbeat. In fact, I didn't get a chance to put this in the notes, but I'll share it with you. When you go to Acts 13, you see the verse where God says, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. I'm looking for a man after my heart. And the title today is, Are You Listening to the Heartbeat? Are you listening to the heartbeat of Christ? Well, this book right here, here's the heart of God right here. This is the heart. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman after his own heart. Here's the heart. Now, we already know that that's a reference to David when he was a shepherd boy. And so many times we look at the story of David the shepherd boy and we think, wow, how lucky could a guy get? He had 7 brothers that was in sin and God picked out a nice shepherd boy. Well, we keep missing the scripture verses. When Samuel was looking at the 7 guys before David, the Lord, Samuel was looking, well, this guy's big and tall, he looks like a king. And the Lord said, no, I don't want this one. He said, Samuel, I'm not looking at the outside, I'm looking at the inside. God looks at the heart. Why in the world did God pick David? And it wasn't until I was reading in Chronicles one day, and I found out that David's dad, Jesse, had a brother called Jonathan. And he just happened to be a scribe in the temple. And what does a scribe do? He copies out the Word of God. Now, I don't doubt for a second that Jonathan would come over to visit Jesse. And you can tell if you study the life of Jesse and his seven sons, they did not care for the Word of God. None of them cared about God's book. So, poor Jonathan wasn't getting any fellowship out of that family. But David had an interest in the Word of God. So, I believe what happened is that Jonathan went ahead and gave him a copy of Genesis. And when David read the Genesis, he says, do you have any more? Then he gave him Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus. And David spent times in the shepherd field reading and studying the Word of God and memorizing it. Now, when we go to the book of Psalms, I can find at least 74 Psalms attributed to David. And those 74 Psalms are his meditations on the first five books. He had a heart after God. Where did he get it from? He got the heart from the book. Where are you and I going to get a heart after God? Reading in the book. That's where it comes from. When you and I believe on the book, as the scripture has said, out of his heart is going to flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit is going to, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain that part, but it's going to flow and spiritual things are going to happen. Now, it says in Romans in those verses, we were given fruit unto holiness. Fruit unto holiness. What is this fruit unto holiness? There are again three levels for fruit out of Scripture. First of all, it's the image of Christ, and I couldn't tag it on there, but Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if someone says they have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you got nine characteristics that are listed. Love, joy, peace, and it goes right down the line. That is the image of Christ. Fruit of the believers is faith in Christ. Galatians 2:20. And in Galatians 2:20,
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Excellent. And that's exactly what it is. What's the fruit of the believers? It's faith in Christ. And we exhibit all nine of those characteristics when we have faith in him. I didn't have time for you to do the study on it, but take the nine fruit. I think the one verse, I did put down one verse for you. It's a great Bible study if you'll follow it. John 15:12, it says, love one another as I have loved you. Here's Christ, he says, he's love. Love one another as I have loved you. So as we learn what that love is, then we can share it with one another. Next fruit of the Spirit is joy. And you read through the writing to John, he says, I have joy, I'm giving you my joy. And when we have his joy, we're supposed to share that joy with the next group. And then he says, I have peace, I'm going to give you my peace. And when you have the peace of Christ, then you share the peace of Christ with the people around you. That's how the fruit multiplies. You find, here's what the nine are, here's how we put them in our life, and then we share. All right? It's a great study. The last fruit is that of winning souls. John 15, 16. It says in there, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. All right? So we're not talking about this fruit. He says, go forth and bring forth fruit. That means unsaved people out there, turn them into fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That means when someone gets led to Christ, they're in the kingdom and they stay. Now whatsoever you shall ask my Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, we have in Proverbs 11:30, this is a fascinating verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. See these two right here? That becomes the tree of life in the garden. If Adam and Eve would have done nothing but eat from the tree of life, they'd still be here today. They ate from the wrong tree. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And notice the next part of the verse. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now the part win here. You and I can't save a single soul. We just shared with you. Paul said, if I could die on the cross, if I could die on the cross just to see my brother get saved, I'd do it. There's no cross you and I could ever hop on to see anybody get saved. It's the work of God. The verse here says, he that winneth souls. How do you win a soul? With the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's the ammunition to win somebody else. That's the way it's done. I don't know of any books that are written on that, but Proverbs is written in parallelism. Here's the one truth, the tree of life, and here's the truth that matches it. Winning souls. They match hand in hand. The key to this one is you have your fruit unto holiness. And that's the love, joy, peace. Now down to, I think this is the last point. Platelets defend blood, defend from the loss of blood. Okay, when you get a cut or sore, the blood starts oozing out. Now here we're talking about the blood of Christ. There's no way that you and I can lose our salvation. No way. There's no way we could screw it up. Every single sin was put on the cross. But we all have the possibility of backsliding. And I even hate to say that, but every one of us can. There's a song that says, prone to love thee, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. All right? It can happen to any single person. You just take your eyes off the Lord and down you go. There are so many Christians today taking their eyes off the Lord because they get mad at another believer, and down they go. We've got a friend who wants to see his brother get saved. The guy's up in years. Well, when this guy was young, he was married to a Christian lady. And the Christian lady committed adultery and got a baby from another guy and left him. So we're talking 50, 60 years, whatever, and he doesn't want to get saved because of what his wife did. Big tragedy right there. Now, I'm still praying for the guy to get saved anyway. I heard a story one time of a lady that learned how to clear her conscience. And when you clear your conscience, there are certain people that have something against you. And if you know that, then you need to go to them and ask forgiveness for whatever offense that you did to them. And so this lady made out a list. And she was down to her last person. And she really didn't want to meet this last person. So the Lord worked it out where she was in a grocery store. And who does this lady see? The other lady she's supposed to apologize to. So she ducked behind some of the shelves. Well, eventually, she ran into the lady. And she said, you know, I got something to tell you. She said, long time ago, I offended you by something I did. She said, I'm not worthy of it, but I'd just like to ask you, would you please forgive me? And the lady broke down in tears. And she said, yes, I do forgive you. She said, you know, I was at the doctor's. I've got 3 months to live. And she said, because of what you did to me, I did not believe in Christianity. But because the lady was willing to ask forgiveness, that lady got saved before she died. You know, again, fruit of the Holy Spirit right there. What the platelets do is when you get a cut, the platelets come in and they stop the blood from flowing out. As long as you and I can keep the blood of Christ before us, we're not going to backslide. The blood of Christ is very powerful. The heartbeat of Jesus defends us from all attacks with his word. What's the heartbeat? Hear the word of God and keep it. And what happens is when we don't keep the word of God, we drift away. And we'll say, well, Christianity really doesn't work. Christianity does work, but it's done through the Spirit of God, it's done through the Word of God, and it's done through the blood of God, the blood of Christ. When Christ was tempted, he quoted Scripture. Right? You go to Matthew 4, and you go to Luke 4. Every time Satan came in with a temptation, Christ could have said anything, and it would have been the Word of God. Instead, what did he do? He went ahead and quoted out of the Old Testament. And he had the right scripture for the right temptation and defeated it every single time. We can use the gospel to break the circle of attacks. I'm sure in your life as well as in my life there are certain regrets you have. You know, if I hadn't done this, then this wouldn't have happened. And if this wouldn't happen, that would have happened, and that would have happened because it started here. And you keep going around in a circle, in a circle. First of all, you have to identify what the source of attack is. Is it something you did? Is it a satanic attack? Or maybe it's from somebody else. Confess your responsibility in the matter. What did you do? Now, what did the other person do? What did you do? Okay, Lord, I confess that I did it. How did we get saved? Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. If you can't confess you're a sinner, you can't get saved. Lord, I have sinned. Confess your responsibility. Three, realize the blood of Christ cleanses all sin. Take that blood of Christ and smack it right back on that sin. Whatever the problem is. It doesn't matter if you did something however horrible you want to call it. Every time Satan brings up that memory, keep applying the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Keep applying it on there. And quote the appropriate scripture. And I've got here, personalize it. One of the things that I've tried to do when I first heard this was I take Romans chapter 6, which is why we went ahead and made it the text today. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You take that same verse and you personalize it. What shall I say then? Shall I continue in nail biting that grace may abound? Now, you can put whatever else you want to put in there. Whatever sin is bothering you. So I continue in that sin, that grace may abound. Verse 2, God forbid, how shall I that am dead to sin live any longer therein? All right? And you take all 23 verses and memorize it and then meditate on it with whatever your problem is. Now, we live by faith in Christ and in His Word and in His blood. And every time Satan comes up with an attack and brings to your mind that attack, you start quoting the verse. And when you quote that verse, Satan's going to leave. He's going to run off. But you know, he may come back in 5 minutes and try again. He may come back in 10 minutes. But every time you keep quoting that verse, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where he doesn't want to remind you anymore of the word. You're going to be very strong every time that happens. And the final key verse is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, God forbid, we're saved by the blood of Christ. That is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the end. Amen? And amen. So I guess a quick recap, and then we'll close with prayer. First of all, the blood of Christ is what starts the spiritual heart beating. And when it beats, there's four things that it does. First of all, it cleanses us from all sins. Number two, it yields all personal rights and ownership. We learn how to die to self. We learn how to transform our soul by God's word. We now conform to the image of Christ. Then last of all, we are defended from all attacks through the blood of Christ, through His word. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and let's have some food. Okay, Heavenly Father, we ask for tender mercies upon us. And I pray, Lord, that we all got something out of your book today, something that we can hang on to. We thank you for your precious blood. It is alive, it is powerful, and it still works today. And you've cleansed us all at your cross. And we have the promise of 1 John 1:9 that anytime we screw up again, that as your Holy Spirit convicts us, we come to you and you will cleanse us again from all sin. We just ask your mercy upon us today. We ask your blessing on the potluck. And bless the food and bless the fellowship. And may we have a greater desire to love and serve you today and to help each other out. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.